Let me read you 7 through 11. We touched on the first three verses. We'll see if we can get to the end tonight. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober for prayer. Above all things, be fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without grudging, without murmuring, without complaining. Now look at verse 10. According as each hath received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold, the variegated grace of God. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God. If any man ministers, ministering as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we have that fervent love among ourselves, I told you last week that these things are going to take place. We're going to be hospitable one to another, and we are not going to complain, we are not going to murmur. And also, if that love is in us, there are many things that are shortcoming and irritable in our brothers and sisters, and it has love covers a multitude of sins. It does not remove them. They're still there. But it can cover them, and knowing it, you can go and pray to God that these sins that require fervent love to cover, that are so irritable, that they shall go away, and then they will not need to be covered, because of your prayer, you remove the covering that concealed them, and they're gone. That's the ideal thing. The Word of God never wants us to make excuses for sins and shortcomings. I remember one brother that I was exhorting, and he was making a distinction. It says in Hebrews 12, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. He says, the thing that you're talking about is not a sin, it's a weight. And so sometimes these weights, we have to use fervent love to cover them. But that is something that is to be exercised on our part. Now, look at verse 10. Here is a remarkable teaching of Scripture. According as each man hath received a gift. You say, each man hath received a gift. Yes. Because if you remember in Matthew 25 and in Luke 19, when the Lord calls his servants, he gives some servants five, some two, some one, but to all of the servants, he gives something. And in Luke 19, to every servant, he gives a pound. So reading this at face value, it says, everyone has received a gift. Have you ever wondered what gift it is that God has given you? You say, well, I cannot believe that I have a gift because I cannot preach the gospel and I cannot teach. This is what I want you to see. That when the Bible says, as each hath received a gift, it is not necessarily a gift of preaching the Word of God. And for that reason, I want you to look at the numerous and varied gifts that God has given. So turn back to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Understand, it says, as each hath received a gift. And to show you that the gifts are different, it says, if any man speaketh, and it says, if any man ministereth. So there is speaking, which of necessity would be preaching, teaching, giving the gospel, That is in the area of the gift of speaking, but it also says ministry. We have other gifts that we minister. And now in chapter 12, look again at verse 4. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. Now listen to all these gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of our faith. Or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teacheth, to his teaching. Or he that exhorteth, to his exhorting. But now listen to this. If you are teaching and preaching and exhorting, you're speaking. But it speaks of ministry. And it says this. Or he that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And all of these things are placed among the gifts that are given to the people of God. And so you say, well then, it is not necessary for me to be a teacher or a preacher or a gospeler to say I have a gift from God. No, because it says, he that giveth, and giving is a gift from God, and he that ruleth, and the ability to rule is a gift from God, and also he that showeth mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You say, well, isn't that remarkable? I hear a gift that I never realized would be put in the same verses of Scripture with preaching and teaching and gospeling. Yes, at times these other gifts are just as important as the ministry of the Word of God. Because if a root of bitterness springs up and there is no forgiveness, then a whole assembly can be destroyed. I'm thinking now of those that cannot get along with one another, and in one meeting already it is split, and another meeting is ready to split. Why? Because it speaks about having mercy. And so there is not that mercy in the hearts of some, and therefore we have to pray for it. Understand this. I'll tell you more about gifts, but one of the things it says concerning gifts, some have already been given, but it says concerning some gifts that are missing, pray that you may prophesy, that you may interpret, that you may have love. These are things to pray for. And so, if I have the gift of tongues and there's no one to interpret, the Bible says, pray that you may interpret. And for that reason, if in an assembly a gift is missing, then we can pray that God will develop that gift and raise up that gift. That you take people from the outside and bring them in, that is good. But the best thing is to pray, and perhaps there is a latent gift, or perhaps there is one that is slothful and selfish in his use of a gift that makes it necessary to reach outside. But it may not be necessary. I find in Acts chapter 13 that when the meeting at Antioch started, the apostle Barnabas looked it over, and when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. But he knew that gift was missing in that meeting, and so he said, it's going to take a long time to bring this meeting to the place that it should be, grounded in the Word, and for that reason I'm going to get Saul of Tarsus and bring him here. And Barnabas and Saul for a whole year taught the Word of God at Antioch. And then it says, after that, there were raised up in that same church that did not have those gifts that were evident, but they may have been latent in the hearts of the people. It says there were enough gifts there for Paul and Barnabas to leave and go somewhere else. That is the ideal. So we may have to pray for a gift that's not there, or we may have to do as Paul exhorted sharply in Colossians, Archippus. Tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry which he has received in the Lord, that he fulfill it. And so here is one that has ministry, and he's not fulfilling it. And we can pray that one who has it may fulfill it, and if one does not have it, that God will develop that gift. So keep that in mind. Now, I want you to see in 1 Corinthians 12, remember that in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and in 1 Peter 4, we have lists, longer or smaller, of the gift that God has given. So let us look in chapter 12 at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministrations and the same Lord, and there are diversities of working, but the same God who worketh all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal. I see. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, that is speaking. To another, the word of knowledge. That is speaking according to the same Spirit. But now, to another, faith in the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healings in the one Spirit. That is ministry. And to another, workings of miracles. That's ministry. To another, prophecy. That's speaking. And to another, discerning of spirits. Here is a ministry to expose that which is erroneous, to make known the working of false prophets and spirits, whether they're of God or not of God. To another, kinds of tongues. That's speaking. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That's speaking. But all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. So, if you're trying to ascertain, and I had people to come to me and ask, what is my gift? This is a remarkable thing. If you have to come and ask what your gift is, because somebody may tell you that I had a woman I told you about that said concerning this man, when I said, what is his gift? And she said, he has no gift. And so beware, if you go and ask somebody if you have a gift, they're liable to tell you, you have no gift. But let me tell you one thing now in the light of what I have told you tonight. That woman who said he has no gift, he did have a gift. He was doing two things at camp that year. He was preaching, and people rejected him as a preacher. But he was also cooking for the camp, and as I recall it, he made the best cinnamon buns around, and everybody delighted to go and eat the things that he cooked. Now, aren't you glad that this man had the gift of preparing meals? I know as I've gone from one assembly to another, and I've been entertained, I've rejoiced that certain sisters had not only that gift of heart to show hospitality, but they were gifted as well to cook. Now, here are other gifts that God has given, and they're all varied. And look farther along in this chapter. Look at verse 28. And God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, health, governments, kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no. But all the saints have some gift that is enumerated, and it is in a different area. And it says this, let me show you. Look at verse 15. If the body, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, even as it pleased him. And if all were one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, and so forth. So this is what God has done. And for that reason, if you look at yourself and you say, I am not a mouth, I'm not of the body. Why, don't you understand? It takes lungs to provide air that the mouth may speak. And so you look at the body and you see that all of it is essential. And God has made some parts of the body that are never seen. It's like this. I have feet and they're supporting me. They are the lowly part of the body, but they're absolutely essential. And so there are gifts and parts that God has given, and all of them are essential. And I've learned this much. It speaks about one that rules well. I told you about that gift. That's him that ruled it. And so there are some that are able to look over and see situations and say what has to be done and bring it about. I confess, I've never had that ability. I've never wanted to rule. I've always enjoyed, if someone is there, giving suggestions, if they say something should be done contrary to the word of God. But as for ruling and commanding, never. Only one time in my life do I recall ever leading a squadron of men when they marched. I remember it was all by accident. I think there were about 50 of us in our company. And one day, our officer, Patera, was somehow going to embarrass these men that thought they were so clever. And they give commands when you march, to the right flank, march, to the left flank, march. And so we were marching along fine, and he said, to the left flank, march, to the right flank, march, double to the left with a slight hesitation. And everybody went wild. Everybody was going in every direction. And he blew his whistle, and we all came to attention. He said, there was one of them, one in the whole platoon, that followed my command correctly. It was Mills. He said, Mills, come up here. He said, now, you lead these men. And so for one day in my life, I was at the head of a squadron and led. But I was glad when the day was over and I could fall back into the line. And so there are some people that are put in that position, but as soon as someone comes along, they're glad for another person to take the chance or to take the place. So, please remember that concerning elders, it says, let the elders that rule well. And then it says, the elders that labor in teaching, in doctrine, in ministry of the word. And so, that is my sphere. So, there are others that are here for organization and other gifts, but I know what God has done for me and enabled me to be a blessing to the people of God. And so, for all the other things, I discover that God has not put all the gifts in one man. I think of these poor denominations here in Goldsboro, and they get a pastor, and they think that he's able to do everything. It may be that the man is a shepherd. He has a shepherd's heart. He's not able to do much preaching. It may be that he's able to rule and organize, but he's not much in caring for the people. You have different ones. And that is why, here in the assembly in Goldsboro, whatever gift we have, at least you have the opportunity to exercise it. And let me exhort you, tonight, there were enough to pray, whether we feel like it or not, last Lord's Day, things went along, but there should not be this long delay as if having to stand up and praise God or do something is a burden. It says that when we come before God, I told you this, it says three times, you shall not appear before me empty. And so you come bringing something to God. And it says, be not foolish, but understand what the will of God is. If I have prayed, if I have given out a hymn, then the body is not one man, but all men. And so be exercised in your heart, and the body is not one member, but all, but many members. Take that to heart and be exercised. All right. Go back now to 1 Peter 4, because if you say, what is my gift? Instead of saying, well, I can't preach, I can't teach. Well, look at these other things. Have you faith? Have you the ability to pray? Can you help people? It says there are helps and there are governments. Why, here are the greatest number of gifts. And you look through and say, well, perhaps I'm one who can tell what is good and bad when it comes to preaching the Word of God. So you look through and find out what your gift is. And now, the 1 Peter 4, let's look back there now. So do you see how many gifts there are? Peter doesn't mention them all. Paul doesn't mention them all. So what you have to do is to look over the entire laying before of these gifts and then understand. It says the word is really multi-covered, the varied grace of God, and so the manifold grace of God. So here it says, if any man speak it, speaking as it were oracles of God. Now, look at verse 10 once more. According as each hath received the gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, the difference between a steward and a repository is that, like at the bank, if you have a safety deposit box and you take something that is valuable and put it in that box, it is a depository, but it's going to do absolutely nothing for you. You're going to keep it safe there, but that is not what God says here. It says, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. And what is the difference? A steward means, literally, one that parcels out the necessities to members of a household. So here is one, and this servant, Abraham had this servant, Eliezer, and all the stores that were necessary to feed the household. He would see to it that they were in the storehouse. And then, if this group of people needed rice or wheat, if they needed honey, if they needed olives, as a steward, he would go to his repository and get it and give it to the household. And that is what we are to do as children of God. I'll show you these scriptures. I'll tell you some of them. And this is what it says. It says three times that we are to be good stewards of the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says, we are stewards. In Titus chapter 1, it says, we are stewards. In 1 Peter 4, it says, we are stewards. And listen to this. In Matthew chapter 13, when our Savior had given all those parables about the sower went forth to sow, and the wheat and the tares, when he got through, he said to his disciples, have you understood all these things? They said, yes. He said, then every scribe that has been made a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And here is your heart, and you hear truth, and you learn truth, and this is the repository in your heart, but then you see what is needed of the treasures that God has given you, and then you go and distribute those treasures where they're needed. Why, I see that Isaiah 53 is needed today. I see that Revelation 1 is needed. I see that 1 Peter 3, that James chapter 4. You see, if you know the Word of God, and the more of the Word of God you know, it is there. If you know that someone is sick, then sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. What you have to do is to understand what is needed among the people of God. And it says we are to be good stewards, and notice how it's described, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what supplied our salvation? Grace. And what supplied the necessities that the church could function and be strong and filled with love and hope until Christ came? Grace. And the gifts in the church, as well as salvation for the church, are all supplied by grace. And it says we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that is why it would be so good if in an assembly, and the assembly at Corinth is an example, because this is what Paul said in chapter 1. You come behind in no gift. How delightful. Here is an assembly, and every gift that God has given, someone in that assembly has that gift. And therefore, if a need arises, there is a gift to meet that need. In other places, you'll find out that those gifts are missing. Or if the gifts are there, they're like artifice. They do not take heed to the ministry which God has given them in the Lord to fulfill it. All right. I want to show you what some did with the gifts that God gave. You have one servant being given 5 talents, and another servant being given 2 talents, and the other servant being given 1 talent. And the one with 5 talents went and multiplied it into 5 more. And the one with 2 talents multiplied it into 2 more. And the one with 1 talent took it and buried it in the ground, wrapped it up in a napkin, and hid it. And therefore, when he stood before his master, he was brought to task because he did not minister the gift that God had given him among the people of God. So here's what I find. I find that gifts are given not to be put under a bushel, not to be buried as that slothful servant buried his gift in a napkin, and also that gift is not to be neglected as Archippus neglected his gift, nor, and this is why it's so sad, neither is that gift to be used for self-glorification. That's what was wrong in Corinth. Here are those that had the gift of tongues, and they wanted to stand and display themselves. They wanted to show all the things that they had. And what is so sad is that if I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. So we have gifts from God, but look how they can be misused. They can be buried, they can be neglected, they can be perverted into glorifying ourselves. Suppose I were a great orator, like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or some other great man, and I would get all people to come to hear me, and that's the only reason I wanted them to come, to hear how great an orator I was. Then I failed, because the gift is given for the prophet withal, and for the ministry of the children of God. The Savior says, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And so Peter is telling us that if we have that love, that fervent love, that any gift that comes from God, it shall be used rightly and not wrongly. So, take these things to heart and be ready to be a blessing to the people of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that you have not made it necessary for us to go outside the church to men that are unsaved of wisdom and wealth to get what is necessary. But we are thankful that you have given to each man a measure of faith, and as each has received the gift, our Father, some of the gifts seem so insignificant, but they're absolutely essential. And you are the one who gives them. And therefore, our God, if our gift is small, let us understand that it was you who decided what gift was to be given. And inasmuch as it is a gift from you, and even though it is small, let us use that gift for the blessing of the people of God. Help us to know what we have, and help us to use for your glory the things that are given to us by grace through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.